the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. We're so glad that you are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with David Dawson and Damian Collado. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're all in. I'm in the throes of hoping the coffee works really soon.
This morning. Dave's got a little slow start.
Got to get all these things clicking. Yeah, they're not clicking yet, Jamie.
Slow start this morning. Okay. Well, maybe a prayer to St. Conrad will help. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. St. Conrad, pray for us that we will find the true meaning of humility and a desire to serve others. We ask this to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
So, St. Conrad, is he like a saint of coffee or alertness or anything, or is it our saint of the day?
He's our saint of the day.
Oh, okay, I guess we'll find out then.
Well, we're going to keep everybody in suspense.
You know how they all say, little is known about this saint.
You're going to find out. This is an interesting character.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right, great, great. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Sorry, Gabby,
too.
Go ahead.
No, I'm looking forward to events we'll be talking about later on in today's show that's coming up in 8 minutes. Stay tuned. We have a lot of them. Jerry Richard joins Damian and David in the Baton Rouge studio in 18 minutes. He's in Arnoville. Yeah.
There you go.
Native and founder of the Auguste Nanco Pelefig Foundation. Gosh, I really need Jerry to help me. And we're going to be talking about this wonderful saint to be, local saint to be. And we have a few of them in the state of Louisiana. So he'll be telling us about this wonderful, and the next steps, kind of like an update. What's going on? We did talk to him a few months ago, so a while back. I'd love getting a little update from Jerry Richard.
Great.
And in 35 minutes, David Dawson Jr. joins us. He's the director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux. And every Thursday, we talk about marriage and family life. Well, today, we're going to be talking about discerning small things. So he'll be giving us some advice on that. And in 48 minutes, Jimmy Mitchell joins us.
Small things every day.
That's exactly what I was thinking with eight kids?
Yeah, nine kids.
Gee whiz, nine kids.
Well, then he is a perfect person to tell us how to discern
small things a lot. Yes, yes.
Well, and in 48 minutes, real quick, Jimmy Mitchell joins us. He's a Catholic author, and he's going to be talking about his book called Let Beauty Speak, The Art of Being Human in a Culture of Noise. It's going to be a great interview with Jimmy. And looking forward to today's weather. I don't know about you, but it's already super sunny outside.
Is
so
it?
Patchy?
Really? Yeah.
Patchy fog in Baton Rouge right now and some other areas. But I'm glad to hear the sun is up already because it will be a nice sunny day. With a mixture of some clouds, windy as well. Winds out of the south-southeast at 10 to 20 miles an hour. High today should be very close to 87, and the low is going to be 67. Should be an interesting day at the Zurich Classic with that wind out there.
That's going to have an effect on things. Yeah,
definitely. Tomorrow, 80% chance of rain. That tournament may not even happen, and they may have to figure out how to work around the rain. But in the meantime, thunderstorms are going to start in the morning, and they're going to be off and on all day long on Friday. But that's going to make way for a nice weekend. Saturday and Sunday should be a beauty. High 79, low in the mid-50s. Little or no rain expected for Saturday and Sunday. So that's good news. Temperatures in and around the area. Right now, 69 in New Orleans, 67 in Biloxi, and in Baton Rouge, Houma-Thibodaux, and Covington, all reporting 66 degrees. We have events coming your way next, and we have your gospel here on Wake Up.
Good Thursday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is a continuation of John chapter 3. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. But the one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever does accept his testimony certifies that God is trustworthy. For the one whom God sent speaks the words of God. He does not ration his gift of the Spirit. The Father loves the Son and has given everything over to him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. We've heard the gospel, and so now we reflect.
The Apostle John in today's gospel is contrasting the earthly origin and ministry of John the Baptist with the heavenly origin and ministry of Jesus. Jesus speaks the words of God, possesses the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and commands the destiny of men and nations. It is precisely here that we are faced with our great challenge. Are we willing to abandon our favorite sins and evil attachments, and then boldly confess Jesus in our actions, and then, when needed, in our words? It is important to recognize that in our relationship with God, obedience is a synonym for love. Obedience is love in action. Obedience is also the driving force that makes our faith come alive. And therefore, John wrote, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains in him." This vital connection between faith and obedience and love and obedience forms a frequent biblical theme. For example, St. Paul frames his entire letter to the Romans with the expression, the obedience of faith. In his farewell address to the Ephesians, Paul declared, "Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole gospel of God." Notice, there's no hint here of picking and choosing what we find to our liking. When we do that, we are creating our own religion. Our faith in Christ requires many things: keeping the commandments, baptism, good works, repentance, perseverance, confession, taking up our cross and following Jesus. In short, all these actions demand a living faith worked out in love. Make no mistake, in heaven, love, obedience, is the only currency that has any value. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers and Father Chris Deckard. It is almost 11 after the hour on this Thursday morning. Going to be a beauty, so get out and enjoy it. Get your day started. In the meantime, some events taking place in and around our listening area. One in particular, the St. Catherine of Siena Men's Acts Retreat is coming up July 20th through the 23rd. The men's retreat will be held at the Archdiocese Retreat Center in Metairie. It's going to begin Thursday evening around 5:45. That's on July 20th. It includes, as far as your registration fee and everything, single occupancy, lodging, all your meals, supplies, of course, the retreat itself. And it will conclude on Sunday at 11 o'clock with a Mass at St. Catherine Siena. Reception and celebration will follow. And while I'm on the subject of the men, the women at St. Catherine's will also have their Acts retreat in September on the 21st through the 24th. Registration is already open, and you can go to scschurch.com, and you'll find information on each one. That's scschurch.com.
I've been on one. Men's. Not women's.
Yes. Acts retreat. Yes. Yeah, yes. We both have.
Fantastic. I can't recommend it enough if you haven't gone. It's quite the weekend. A Finding God's Mercy in Our Brokenness workshop will take place on April 21st at the Archdiocesan Spirituality Center. And in this workshop, we will taste and come to understand the saving love of God that frees us to find our true dignity, value, and identity And the presenter will be Archdiocesan Spiritual Associate Director Bonnie Chase. So join us April 21st at 10 a.m. and there's a $30 donation. You can register by email at I'd have to spell this out. We're going to go ahead and put it in our notes here.
Yes.
Or you can call 504-861-3254.
We're going to put that in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video. It's a Wake Up Thursday, the first video on our Facebook page. Well, the Archdiocese of New Orleans Office of Marriage and Family Life Springs in the Desert are partnering to offer Cherished, which is a retreat for those in a season of infertility. It's going to be July 7th through the 8th at St. Joseph's Abbey Retreat Center. Wherever you are on the path of infertility, the Marriage and Family Life Office invites you to join Springs in the Desert team as they reflect on the emotional, relational, and spiritual aspects of the infertility experience and to offer practical suggestions for strengthening your relationship with God and your spouse. Come with your spouse or on your own for a time of prayer, healing, and friendship. To learn more about Cherished and to register, you can visit springsinthedesert.org/NOLA. And today, you guys, we are going to be celebrating Mother Angelica's 100th birthday.
Yes, indeed.
And it's happening on Catholic Community Media at 9 a.m. So you can tune in at 9 a.m. And we're going to be having a two-hour special celebrating her 100th birthday.
That is wonderful. We wouldn't be here on the air if it wasn't for Mother Angelica. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And we're part of the network. Her stamina and her spunk. So exactly. we're going to learn a lot of great things about her.
It's going to be a fun day, I believe, at EWTN for sure. Mm-hmm. And it's their giving day, too, kind of like a fundraiser to go along with it. Mother Angelica wouldn't have it any other way.
That's right.
By the way, quick note, Corpus Christi Catholic Church in Mobile. We have listeners over there.
Oh, yeah, we do.
They wanted us to mention that their young adult group is getting together tonight. In Mass is at 5:30, and then there's going to be a talk by Father Crow at 6:30, and of course there's going to be food and drink. Can't get young adults together without some
pizza.
Food and drink.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why you're doing the menu now for them.
You know, if I was young, that's what I'd go. If they had pizza, I'd be there.
Hey, man, not necessarily.
As an adult, I'd be there for pizza, too.
Hey, South Louisiana, gumbo or etouffee.
Yeah,
beats pizza any day,
absolutely.
In my opinion. All right, well, while we talk about food, we want you to take a break, grab a cup of coffee, get behind the wheel, but be careful. We've got more coming your way on Wake Up with Jerry Richard.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 20th. Today we celebrate St. Conrad of Partsum. Spending 4 decades at the same job may not appeal to those of us used to fast-paced living and lots of change, but for today's saint, it was a gift from heaven. Conrad was born in 1818 into a large family of farmers living in Partsum, Germany. For many years he worked the land, happily pitching in with chores and enjoying the opportunity for solitary prayer. At age 33, he entered the Capuchin Franciscans. He was assigned to work as a porter at a Marian shrine that attracted many pilgrims. The man who greeted them at the door was perfectly suited to the task. Helpful, unassuming, humble, generous, devoted, even-tempered, charitable to all. Conrad happily spread his devotion to Mary by distributing rosary beads. He took special pleasure in teaching children about the faith. The poor who knocked at the door in search of food or alms found a loyal friend in the simple friar. 3 days before his death, Conrad turned over his duties as porter. He died in 1894 and was canonized 40 years later. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Past the hour, you are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson with Damian Collado, Gabby Smith. Good morning, everyone. We have a guest in our studio right now, Mr. Jerry Richard. He is from St. Aloysius Parish here in Baton Rouge, but originally you're from Arnoldville.
That's correct.
We're going to talk about hopefully a future saint from Arnoldville. Talk about that.
Auguste Pellefeuille.
Oh, wait, hang on. I got to get this right. Auguste Pellefeuille?
Pelafig.
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 Pelafig. Yes. Okay, Auguste Pelafig, and they call him Nanko.
Nanko.
Nanko is like Uncle...
Uncle Auguste.
Uncle O.
Uncle Auguste.
Oh. Okay, okay. Great, great. And you are the founder of the foundation.
I'm amongst several people that have put in a lot of effort with it.
Yeah.
Planted the seed to get this thing started. And through the efforts of many unselfish volunteers, mm-hmm. we've been able to get to where we are seeing something that has been rarely seen in St. Landry Parish versus Louisiana.
Yeah, so South Louisiana. We have a couple in the works right now, but we're going to talk about Nanko today. And tell us about the process and where it is right now.
Okay. There's a long process for canonization. Mm-hmm. The first step is to be recognized by the people.
Okay.
And first of all, the person has to be dead.
Okay.
5 years. There's no saints that are less than the 5 years.
So you're out of the picture, Damien. Sorry,
yeah.
You're still alive.
So far.
Yeah.
And time has to pass to where their reputation lingers on after
right.
they're gone. Once the people step forward and come back to come out, nominate someone, then only the bishop can open a cause and
okay.
recognize a cause.
Okay.
It's presented to the bishop. And if the bishop deems fit to be able to see if there's enough history and merits to this person's value
All right.
as a cause for sainthood, he proceeds with opening a cause.
Okay. Tell us then, because, I mean, that means a lot for the bishop to say, okay, I recognize something's going on here. Give us a brief history on Nanko. Talk about him and why he has elevated this high so far.
Nanko's reputation is, Nanko was born in the 1800s,
okay.
and he passed away in 1977, and his whole life was, he began from our the history of Nanko, when he attended the school of normal school of in Northwestern Natchitoches. It was called a normal school.
Normal school.
Yes.
I guess as opposed to
somewhere where you and I would go would be the other one. he went and at the time this was about 1909 when he appeared there, and one of the in the yearbook picture. He's appeared in the club called the Apostleship of Prayer.
Okay, well, he's getting an early start.
And that's where it started with his dedication to the Sacred Heart of Jesus from what we had.
Okay.
And after that, he dedicated his life to the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
So he moved back to Arnoville?
Yes, that's where he went to school.
Okay.
And then he moved back to Arnoville.
Right.
And he was a teacher.
Okay.
Taught the various schools in the St. Landry area. You would take a train to go to Cot Springs and walk to other areas out there later in life, and then settled into Arnoville.
So it was his passion for the Sacred Heart
passion.
That and his zeal for that is what gave him the reputation
and his life of piousness of not taking anything from people, sacrificing everything he did
oh, really?
For in prayer, and everything he did for his church with
yeah.
it, to where never missed a mass,
yeah.
walked everywhere. People would try to give him things. He would not. He was apostle to the poor
wow.
and to the sick, and say penances for the people, the kids in purgatory. And his life was no social life except for praying to God, ministering, and he had animals, and he took care of so many animals like St. Francis.
Yeah.
He had animals all over his...
Was he married?
Life. No, he was never married.
Okay.
Never
so
married.
He just, total devotion to his faith life is what we're seeing, somebody totally surrendering to Christ.
And exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And later, in 1953, I believe it is, he was awarded the papal degree. By the Pope at that time, which is the highest degree that can be recognized by a non
By a layperson.
Layperson.
Yeah.
Okay.
What miracle is attributed to him, if any?
He has no miracles yet.
Okay.
A lot, and that's something.
We got to put him to work.
That's where it starts now.
That's where the people that pray to Noko for graces for favors and turn into miracles.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of like the little friend of mine, Boudreaux, and his little boy, little Boudreaux,
yep.
His second grader, went to school, and he was all nervous. He wasn't a very good student, trying to go to his first spelling bee, and he hadn't studied. And boy, he was nervous. So he comes out and he says, boy, I need a miracle for this, to be able to get through this. Well, he couldn't even spell one plus one. That's how bad his spelling was.
He couldn't spell one plus one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he goes in and he passes the spelling bee. So,
okay.
Boy, he goes back to his home and he says, Papa Boudreaux, he says, boy, it's a miracle. I passed my spelling bee. And Papa Boudreaux says, no, son, it's not a miracle that you pass. It's a miracle that you didn't fail.
Boom. There you go.
Boom.
Yeah.
There you go.
So when you ask it for miracles, there's a different perspective of how you ask and what you're going to get, whether it's...
So give us a timeline. I mean, the public closing session just took place, right? Last weekend, there was a special mass for that, right?
Correct.
Okay. By Bishop Desitel in Lafayette.
Correct.
Okay. And what's next?
All the documents... there's been work that's been going on now for 10 years since we started this.
Wow.
And all the documents have been put together. There's over 700 to 800 pages of documentation on Noko's life and witnesses that are involved in this.
Wow.
And that's been sealed by the bishop, and it's being sent by to the postulator, which is the person that represents us in Rome. And it goes to the congregation of laymen, the terms I don't have in front of me. And then it's going to be reviewed.
Okay.
And then they'll be going through the venerabilation.
Okay. Then he'd be known as venerable.
If it goes through that part with it. But that's the next phase with it.
That would be next.
So this is pretty intense scrutinization that's about to happen, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And it's a blessing to be part of all this, and humbling because Noko was the exact opposite of people like you and I.
Yeah, there you go. That's right.
That we brings us to the point where we let our guard down and give it all to
absolutely. Christ. So you talked to some folks who knew him personally.
Yes, I knew him.
You knew him personally?
Yes. I was in his play.
Okay.
As a kid, I was about maybe 5 or 6 years old.
Okay.
I was one of the last kids in his plays that he would have.
He would do plays. All right.
And
what was the name of the play?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
It was all dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Again.
He would have the whole community involved. And people, he was a very shy person, but when it came to asking people to participate in this, he was like a promoter of a Hattacol or Kuzan Dud.
Of a concert or something.
Yeah.
Nice.
And he just came to life when it came to his church and everything with it. And
so your role, what did you do? What did you do in the play?
I was a flag bearer.
You were, okay, well, there you go. Not a lot of lines in that, but don't.
Well, yeah. And I guess he knew my talent of speaking. It hadn't been developed quite like little Boudreaux yet with the spelling.
Well, that is really neat that you actually interacted with him.
Yes,
I guess.
And he also sat in back of church in our part of church. He sat in the back corner of the north section of our church, and he would always sit in the back and wait to you know, like a. The humbleness of somebody, I can still see him now, say his prayers and everything involved in church. And then after church, he would start getting people for the Sacred Heart deliveries of leaflets to his promoters throughout church. And then
I'm sure just handing out pamphlets
and delivering to everybody had their share. He had over 100 promoters of the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Oh, my goodness.
That
he
would go out and
very good.
Spread the word of the the Pope at that time, in the monthly prayers.
So we're going to pray for the next step.
Yes, sir.
And we're also going to pray to Auguste Nanko Pelafi.
And the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
And the
when you're doing
Jesus.
Both of them, it's the cause will be moving forward, I'm sure.
Well, I'm honored to meet you, and I'm glad somebody got behind it and got it going. I mean, I think that is fantastic. We'll pray for the success of this. So Jerry Richard, thank you.
There's favors out there for Noko and the Sacred Heart are there for you.
Excellent. Waiting. All right. Well, we will be right back. It's 29 past the hour on Wake Up.
It is 36 past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson Sr. David Dawson Jr. joins us over the phone right now. He is the director of the office. He's a director of the Office of Parish Support in the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux. Hey, Dave, good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Absolutely, absolutely. Good to be here.
It's good to have you with us. Today we are talking about discerning small things. So we just can't wait to hear your advice on this. We were having a little conversation before the show started on your segment. So tell us a little bit about discerning small things.
Yeah, so I think one of the, you know, for us, those of us who live in the faith, it's a given that when it comes to the big stuff, when it comes to job, vocation, you know, moves, big decisions for kids or parents or anything like that, that we want to take that to prayer and we want to see what God tells us, because these, they feel bigger than us, right? They feel like, I can't get this figured out. I want to know what God wants, the direction for my life, for my family's life. And so we want to get his input. I think, though, that's a good thing, and we want to be able to do that. But every time, I know, you know, when I was growing up and trying to journey in the faith, making these big decisions, it's scary because we're not sure if we're going to be able to get the kind of clarity we want, if we're going to know, you know, with assurance what God's will is, if he's going to provide. So these big decision discernments usually take days, weeks. We need help with spiritual directors, which is all good. It's important. But I think that just like with any relationship, if the only time we really have, you know, solid conversation and I get to where I'm hearing your voice and understanding the desires of your heart is with the big stuff, it's going to be complicated. It's going to be tough. I'm going to struggle to trust, you know, that you have my best interest in mind. I'm going to struggle to know that, trust that you really know me well and really know the situation well, you know. So I think a lot of times when it comes to discerning and hearing God's voice, for most of us, a lot of times we just kind of avoid it because we assume that it's not something I'm really going to get clarity on, and I need clarity. So it's this battle, this kind of relational battle that we avoid because there's a familiarity that we wish we had. We know that some people have, but we're not real confident in our ability to hear God's voice or be able to, you know, tell God's voice versus my voice versus, you know, what if Satan's voice is involved? You know, how do I know that? It could be a tough road, but I think that the key is to begin discerning the smaller things, or even if I have discerned bigger things, to start looking at, like, God may actually want to talk to me and be interested in the smaller details of my life and not just the really big ones.
Yeah, and sometimes we're praying for something and it's not good for us. And we don't see that at that point in time until maybe later, how things have kind of worked out or unfolded. And it really turned out what was best for us because God knew that that was what was best for us. A lot of times when I'm discerning something, I really try to take it to the Adoration Chapel and just kind of sit in the quiet. And a lot of times I don't get anything. And a lot of times I feel that peace. So it's kind of God is, you know, testing us or telling us that, hey, you got to trust in me a little bit more here. You know, like, who do you think that I am? I'm always pulling through for you and stuff like that. At least that's what I'm getting. And I always tell him, look, I'm not good at taking hints. Please be up front. And he is, you know, because sometimes you just want to know, what am I supposed to be doing here?
Yeah. I think one of the keys there is that if the times that I have, and it's often, have tried to use God as like a magic eight ball, you know, just like, tell me, give me the insight that I can't have. Give me more knowledge, more insight than a human being typically has, because I don't want to mess this up, or I want what's best, or, you know, there's a fear there usually that's driving that, and I turn out to want to kind of use God. And look,
right.
God's emotionally okay. He can handle it. It's just, he knows that that's not good for me. That ultimately what I need and what I want more than anything is not to be able to wave God around like a magic wand and get some sort of wisdom and answers like a crystal ball, but to be able to trust in a Father who loves me and can provide, that's what I want more than anything. And that's something that, like you said, you know, it may be something that God's going to say no or something like that, but ultimately, if I can trust and begin to see that he has my best interest in mind, that he knows me well, then when it comes to the big stuff, it's a lot easier when I can just put it in his hands, knowing that, like, whatever it is that he's going to give me is going to be what's best for me and my family, even if I have trouble understanding it now. So I ended up asking the question why a lot less, or how a lot less, and much more the question of, like, just give me the next step, and I'm going to take it in trust. And knowing that, like, what a beautiful gift it is that he's willing to speak to me, and that he's willing to speak to me in a way that I can hear, right? So even if it's an answer that I don't necessarily want, right, or I can't see how this is going to go well, to be able to just rest in the fact that, like, God just told me something. How awesome is that? And the fact that he knows better than I do. How awesome is that, you know? And that he's going to be able to bring it about. He's not just going to tell me, but he's going to have the power, the wisdom, the love for me to be able to bring it about and provide. Man, how awesome is that? And to be able to just rest in that. And I think that is the gift of being able to discern well. And really, like I said, if I can do that in the small things, like the plans for this week, I don't know how this is all going to work out. Our finances, I don't know how this is going to work out. Lord, I need some help here. Or like I've got a child or a spouse that I'm struggling to be able to connect with. Lord, give me what's a good next step? Being able to trust. And then after a while, even smaller things, just throughout the day, I think the goal, I mean, St. Paul says to be praying always. The goal is that I'm in constant conversation. And not that he's giving me these insights and these magic, you know, crystal ball type insights all day, but that I'm in conversation with him all day. And that he can lead me all day. And what a beautiful gift that would be, right?
Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, things are so dire, you're just asking for guidance for that hour or that day. You know, what is my part for this day? I need your help. You know, Dave, for those who are really struggling right now, and a lot of people are, any advice that you can give for maybe how to discern that? Because sometimes we do hear his voice and it's instant, and sometimes we don't. And it's very frustrating, and we're trying to get some sort of answer of what we should do or where we should go. Any advice on when we're kind of feeling kind of down in the dumps?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think one of the main things that we do when we go to prayer with big, heavy things that are really causing us a lot of anxiety is that we go to prayer and we are going to him with the anxiety and with a specific need. And we're like, this is what has to happen. And we're like, please, God, if you don't pull through on this, I'm going to die. You know, whatever. I need an answer. I need some clarity. I need to know the next step because this has to happen. And I think what happens is we come with the anxiety. There's an assumption that he doesn't know. I've done this before. There's an assumption that he doesn't care, and I have to convince him that he needs to get involved, right? Mm-hmm. When the truth is, like, the biggest, most important thing I need to do in these situations is when I go to prayer, sit and recognize, first and foremost, you're here. You're huge. Yeah. You're the God of the universe. You love me. You've taken care of me, and you've taken care of people for thousands of generations. You are the God of the universe. You are holding me in being. And to first and foremost, and that you read all the spiritual masters, they've all been telling me that for you know, years and years and years, they've been telling us this. That, like, the key is first sit, recognize he's here, he's powerful, he's got this, he's good, he's good, he's good. And he is the God of the universe, and rest in that first. And then it may take some time because I'm struggling, because I'm anxious, you know. But then once I'm in that context, it's helpful to start thanking him for things that he's already done. Not that I'm trying to force it. Well, what am I actually thankful for? And that puts me in the context of, like, no, he does care for me. He does stuff. I'm not coming here thinking, like, you don't do things and I got to pull you out of heaven to make this happen, right? But then putting myself in that context first and to be able to do that together, especially, it's extremely helpful to do that with someone else, to discern with my spouse. So that way it's not just me trying to poke around in the dark. I think to be able to use scripture, use the rosary. That was something that was introduced to me not too long ago. Like, pray a couple of decades and put it in Mary's hands. right? We're not trying to pull her down from heaven. We're not trying to pull God down from heaven. We'll be able to put it in their hands, resting in the mysteries of the rosary, resting in the fact that he's done so much and he is so good, and to be able to let him then, in that context, I'm a lot more open to the clarity and the love that he wants to provide, you know?
Absolutely. And thanking him, like you said, for the little things, the sun, the weather, mm-hmm. the warmth, getting you to your job or dropping your kids off of school or having your kids back at home after school, a good meal, just something throughout the day, little things, thanking him and letting him know that he is seen and he's there. So thank you so much, David Dawson Jr., Director of the Office Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. You can go to htdiocese.org to learn more about the diocese and what Dave does. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
All right, stay with us. Jimmy Mitchell joins us with Damian when we come back from the break. It is 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
Welcome back to Wake Up, 12 minutes before the top of the hour on this Thursday morning. Thank you for being with us, Damian Collado, Gabby Smith, David Dawson, and now Jimmy Mitchell, Catholic author, here to talk about his book, Let Beauty Speak. I love the title, The Art of Being Human in a Culture of Noise.
Oh boy.
How real is that? Jimmy, welcome to Wake Up.
Thanks, Damien. It's great to be with you all this morning.
All right, my brother. So this is an interesting book. We're going to delve into it. But first of all, what got you or inspired you to even write this book at this time? Because to me, it's very timely. With politics, with just the culture itself, we need something to cut through the clutter.
That's right. I think all of us feel the frustration of living in what Pope Benedict XVI prophetically called a dictatorship of relativism. I think a lot of us also recognize the fact that noise has just taken over our lives. You know, the average American right now scrolls the distance to the top of Mount Everest and back every single year with their thumb on their smartphone, right? So there's just constant noise, constant distraction. But you got the relativism undergirding that, which makes it very hard to have rational conversations about what is true, about what is good. And so that third transcendental of beauty, truth, beauty, and goodness are the three main ones that great philosophers and theologians have been talking about for a long time. Beauty seems to have a way of breaking through all of that, of piercing the heart, of giving us a real sense of awe and wonder before the mysteries of life. And of course, beauty ultimately can be traced back to the author of beauty, who is God himself. So if we can get people really aware of these encounters with beauty in their lives, even in the ordinary circumstances of life, to be more open to those encounters with beauty, it'll ultimately lead them to the truth, who is, of course, a person, and his name is Jesus.
Amen. And you've traveled the world or did extensive traveling in your life already, and I think when you relate to beauty, you mention wonder. Wonder is the first chapter in your 10 chapters, each one representing a principle that you refer to, and we'll talk about that. But how beautiful it is to bring up wonder. We don't stop in the old saying and smell the roses
right. Anymore. It's true.
And God's beauty,
fast, right?
God's beauty is all around us.
Absolutely.
And no matter where you live. So what made you at least start with wonder? Because I think that piques one's curiosity moving forward in your 10 principles.
I lived in Nashville, Tennessee for a long time and was very influenced by the Nashville Dominican Sisters. And they're the ones who always used to remind me that wonder leads to knowledge, and ultimately knowledge leads to love. So wonder is one of these foundational principles for life, certainly for any honest pursuit of what is true and good and beautiful. And, you know, to quote Pope Benedict XVI again, he described beauty as an arrow that wounds the heart, so much so that we can't help but trace the arrow back to its source, who's, of course, God himself. And so if we think of beauty as an arrow, I like to think of wonder as the sharpening stone that allows the arrow to penetrate us with as much force as possible. And, of course, you know, we all know that it's very hard to predict these encounters with beauty. And often they can be even a bit overwhelming. They can leave mm-hmm. us speechless. But there's no doubt that that childlike wonder and awe is something that we all long for and that we probably all desperately want to reclaim, because the world, the noise, everything that's just so far gone in our society today, it leaves us a bit cynical and it leaves us a bit despairing. Wonder restores the innocence of youth.
So tell us how the book is structured so it will help give us a perspective of how we can get through the noise and see the beauty God has created all around us.
That's right. So the book is divided into 10 principles. We just talked about wonder being the foundational and first principle. But other principles include freedom, friendship, community, even suffering, work, leisure, community, mission, ultimately culture. All of these principles, especially by the end of each chapter, get very, very practical in helping us really cultivate the art of being human and empowering us to then evangelize our post-Christian culture through beauty. And so there's a few that really mean a lot to me. The chapter on suffering is where I really break down the tragedy of losing my older brother. This was about 12 years ago. He died in his sleep, and this rocked our family. And we can all agree that there's nothing beautiful about suffering. It's ugly. It's painful. But united to Christ, and specifically his cross, we all know, I hope, right, that beauty can come out of suffering, because redemption can come out of suffering. And I experienced that in a really profound way. You know, I have this really great priest friend. He always says that, you know, to believe in Christ, to have faith in Christ, is ultimately to believe in his resurrection. But to have hope in Christ is to believe in our own. And that is to say that, you know, if we're serious about following Christ, and that means following him in his life, death, and resurrection, then we've got to be willing to take up our crosses, to suffer alongside him, and to let, you know, the resurrection follow the cross in our lives, just like it did in his.
So, Jimmy, we want to cut through the clutter, cut through the noise. So we basically have to renew ourselves in the process. And this is kind of a little study guide or a how-to guide for us to do that, right?
That's right. And I've got a lot of friends who have already formed small groups. Some of the people who got advanced release copies of the book have already read them with their entire family. And that's what I'm finding. You know, you use the phrase study guide. There's probably no better way to read this book than in community with others, so that, you know, even the talking points or sort of the major points of each principle can actually come out in conversation and then be, you know, personally applied, practically applied to our lives. And I think this is, you know, where much of our rich, rich theology as Catholics has so many more personal and practical implications than we realize, because, you know, frankly, part of this book, you know, is a result of 15 years of study and 15 years of prayer and 15 years of travel. You know, these principles were very much sort of unfolding in my heart and in my mind for well over a decade before I even put pen to paper. And I think that's an easy thing to forget, that it's not just, you know, that our faith is one holy, Catholic, and apostolic, and the fullness of truth. It is all of those things, and clearly that is one of the greatest gifts that we could have ever been given, to be raised in that faith, or to be, you know, given that faith later in life. But there's something to say about finding the places where the rubber can hit the road and the faith can come alive, even in our ordinary circumstances, and especially in our culture of noise. And that's really what this book is. It's a call for all of us to live the faith, to become saints at a time where the world needs saints more than ever before.
Amen. You got it. Well, Jimmy Mitchell, thank you so much for being with us. His book, Let Beauty Speak, I hope it's a bestseller, and we can all use it.
We need it.
Where do they pick a copy up real quick? How do they get it?
LetBeautySpeak.com. So you can find links to Amazon, links to Ignatius Press. That's the easiest place to find the book. Again, that's LetBeautySpeak.com.
All right. Thank you so much, and best of luck to you, Jimmy. God bless.
Thanks so much. Great to be with you all.
Okay. All right. Let's pray. We're going to touch on all the topics we talked about this morning in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Teach us, we pray, humility of heart so that we may be counted among the little ones of the gospel to whom the Father promised to reveal the mysteries of his kingdom. Help us to pray without ceasing, certain that God knows what we need even before we ask, and obtain for us the eyes of faith that will help us recognize in the poor and suffering the very face of Jesus. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.